Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. News with Nick, episode 4, April 22nd, 2021. It has been a little bit. That's how I normally start every show. But this time, it's because I'm lazy, just like all the other times. There's no excuse. Just because I am moving and I have a literal 4 or 3 more days to sleep in this house is no excuse to not be recording. So I'm sorry about that, everyone. Head on over to the website. It's newswithnick.com. You can check out the video version of the show, which again, this will be, the last time the video looks like this with this blue background, unless something horrible happens, which we'll get into shortly. And the lighting is awful because I took my light down a while ago. So I'm just using natural light for the most part, which looks real bad. Anyway, go to the website and in the top right corner, type in your phone number to the texted updates section. You'll get updates when there's going to be a live show, which is like once every month or once every 6 weeks. So you have to be the text update subscriber so that you don't miss one. I don't ask much of you. I don't ask for an hour a week like these other losers, or 3 hours a day like these other losers. I ask for 1 hour every 6 weeks. And that's it. And then email me compliments, and then we can just keep doing this indefinitely. Listen to me ramble, read the news, get out my ideas that aren't really ideas, and then you can think, oh, those were stupid ideas. What an idiot. But you didn't waste much time listening to them, so that's okay. All right, let's jump right in. We're going to start with some, we're just going to start with Corona stuff, right? A few months ago, several weeks ago, this headline went through, "Stop whining, Bolsonaro." What's this guy's name? Bolsonaro tells Brazilians. After 2 straight days of record COVID-19 deaths in Brazil, President Jair Bolsonaro on Thursday told Brazilians to stop whining and move on. Brazil has the world's second highest, death toll over the past year after the United States. While the U.S. outbreak is ebbing, Brazil is facing its worst phase of the epidemic yet, pushing its hospital systems to the brink of collapse. He says, enough fussing and whining. How much longer will the crying go on? He told in a crowd at an event, how much longer will you stay at home and close everything? No one can stand it anymore. We regret the deaths again, but we need a solution. So I'm not going to read the whole article here because it is a little old. But stuff's picking up. We're now in phase 63 of this. It started with phase 1, 15 days to slow the spread. Phase 2, 15 plus 2 days to slow the spread. Phase 3, how about till the end of the summer? Phase 4, how about till school gets back? I guess that's kind of the end of the summer. Phase 5, how about till you all wear masks? How about that? It's your fault for not wearing masks, idiots. So as I said a few weeks ago, not too many people on the internet are pro not wearing a mask. However, I got this notification the other day on my account. Hello, you have been permanently banned from participating in r/offmychest. It's like a subreddit forum that has nothing to do with anything that I participate in. You have been permanently banned from participating in r/offmychest. Here's the note. You have been automatically banned from for your participation in r/no new normal. It is a major source of users spreading misinformation and harassment in our community. So, a bunch of people who post in the r/no new normal subreddit or comment on stuff there got auto-banned by this bot that's going around and banning people from another subreddit. We're getting censored, everyone. Aren't you guys scared? So things are looking weird. We're going to get into it shortly, but I just saw this. This is on the front page of CNN right now. Do we still need to wear a mask outdoors?
Masks outside, particularly, Sanjay, if you're vaccinated, why and should vaccinated people still wear masks outside?
Yeah, so let me try and answer it this way. I think that the vast majority of viral transmission, excuse me, is not happening outside. In fact, we put together some of the numbers. We've talked about the fact that overall, if you look at new cases of people becoming infected, fewer than 10% are happening outdoors.
Fewer than 10%?
John, you may remember this is
That's still a lot, though. I mean, well, fewer than 10% could be any percent from 0 to 10, right? But even if it's between 5 and 10, that seems like way more than it should be. That seems way more than is true. And by the way, we're starting to realize that there's no percent that's enough for these people. Okay, here's your vaccine. It's 95% good. And now your chances of getting COVID are 95% less than before. But no, it's not zero. So wear a mask outside still. So it's less than 10% chance of getting it outside than inside, and then less than 5% chance from unvaccinated to vaccinated. But these people are still walking around with their masks outside.
A statistic we shared from before, we're actually looking at viral transmission and finding that it's about close to 19 times less likely to happen outdoors versus indoors. So what are the factors then that make that different? I'd say for the most part, you don't need to wear a mask outdoors. There's countries around the world like Israel that says you no longer need to do that. I think you just got to use common sense here. I mean, the virus is contagious. It doesn't like to be outdoors. It doesn't like to be in the sunlight. But if you are closely clustered together, if there's lots of people in a single area, if you're going to be there for
all right, we're not going to listen to the whole interview.
And
so I used to be months ago. I was like, yeah. Okay, fine. If people want to wear their masks outside and they only want to hang out with other friends that wear their masks outside, then I guess we can just live and let live. Like, they don't yell at me for not wearing a mask outside. I won't yell at them for wearing a mask outside. No, we can't do it. We can't. I think we need to start a club, probably a community online where we take pics and videos of each other doing this, where we set up a table downtown, and if anyone's wearing a mask outside, we berate them. We go, "Why? Stop it. Take it off. You're outside. You're walking with only your family. You're a mother, and you're walking with your children, and you're wearing masks outside in the sun. Take it off." And then we keep yelling at them until they call the police. And then the police come and go, "You can't yell at people in the streets." And you go, "You can, First Amendment." And they can't do anything. We need to have a protest that all the signs are just stop wearing your mask outside. And if anyone's caught wearing their mask outside, we send one of the protest people with their large sign, and that person follows the person around with the sign going, "Stop wearing your mask outside." Why should we do this? Because they're wearing that mask and it's just the sign on their face that's like, "The virus keeps going. You have to accept me for wearing my mask outside because I'm scared of the virus that can't possibly get me. I'm 20 feet from anyone else." And the society keeps rewarding these people. They keep going, "Good, you're being extra super safe. I guess you're the best person possible," right? No, there has to be a line, right? There has to be a line where you tell someone you shouldn't be suffocating your kids with masks, right? I don't know if that's really true. I have no evidence to support that. But also, that'd be really a funny YouTube sketch. That's the whole point of the idea, is it'd be funny and super annoying for these people. Okay, I don't know what else to say. But they're really, I'm trying not to be annoyed by them, but I'm like, how can I respect anything that exists in society when we're all being so crazy? Right? I don't know. Let's see. Here's an article. 1 in 4 people do not want the vaccine. This is from NPR. Vaccine refusal may put herd immunity at risk. Researchers warn. This is starting to pick up steam in the past week. It was 2 weeks ago. It was like, there's not enough vaccines. The vaccine supply is so short, we can barely get them in on time. And this happened at my work too. They were like, we're going to have a vaccine clinic and it's going to be by lottery. Like, we can't guarantee we can get you in, but if you want to sign up, go ahead and sign up and we'll let you know if we pick you. And then during the vaccine clinic, there was a guy in the hallway going, you want a vaccine? You want a vaccine? It's like they had way more than people who signed up.
President Biden now says every adult in the U.S. should be eligible for a coronavirus vaccine by April 19th. More than 168 million doses have been administered. That's according to the CDC. But cases are rising. After touring a vaccination site in Virginia yesterday, the president said getting vaccine shots to everyone is the best way to stop the spread. But he cautioned this is not the time to get complacent.
The virus is spreading because we have too many people who, seeing the end in sight, think we're at the finish line already. But let me be deadly earnest with you. We aren't at the finish line.
Public health.
This is the argument that the virus people, what do we, oh, right, the flat curvers. This is the argument that the flat curvers always say. And it's an unfalsifiable statement, right? So what they say is, okay, we're going to lock down and we're going to make you all wear masks and stay in your house and stare at the wall. Let's say they said that. Then if the cases go down, you go, oh, see, that was great. It's a great thing that we did that. It's a great thing we told everyone to stay inside and stare at their mask with a wall on their face. And then if the cases go up, they say, well, it's because not enough people listened to our rules about staying on a wall with a house on their face. And it's unfalsifiable, right? You can't be like, no, I don't think that's true, because they just say it is. So this is what keeps happening. 15 days to slow the spread, 15 years to flatten the earth. Joyce Ann Craner is eager for the pandemic to end and for life to get back to normal. Okay, do it. Craner, 49, wants to be able to hug her mother who lives in a nursing home, but she says she has no plans to get the vaccine, even though it's widely available in her community in Tennessee. I feel like I'm healthy, she says. I actually didn't read this article. I thought she was gonna be a vaccine pro person, so they threw me for a loop in the second line here. Despite the fact that millions of people have been vaccinated safely, Craner worries about complications. She believes some people are having life-threatening reactions to the vaccine that the media aren't reporting. Many such reports shared on social media are false or misleading, and she's worried because it's so new. We don't know the long-term effects. We don't know what it's going to do. A recent NPR poll said that 1 in 4 Americans said they would refuse a coronavirus vaccine outright if offered. Another 5% are undecided about whether they would get the shot. Although the numbers were highest for Republican men and residents of rural areas, they were still a significant number of people across all ages and demographic groups who claim they will say no. Now, some researchers are increasingly worried that this reticence? Yeah, that's right. Will be enough to prevent the nation from reaching what's known as herd immunity, the point at which the coronavirus can no longer spread easily through the population and transmission peters out. Of course, it's going to keep going, and you know what? And what they're going to say is, "Oh, it's the vaccine refusers. It's them. They're the ones that are keeping this going. We could just be back to normal if it weren't for them." Okay, why don't you just get your dumb vaccine and go back to normal then? What was the whole point of the... But it's not a 0% chance of... Okay! The point at which the coronavirus can no longer spread easily through the population. Reaching high levels of vaccination would mean new outbreaks of the coronavirus would quickly die down, as opposed to growing and spreading. Vaccine hesitancy is a big problem for all of us, said Ali Mokhtad, who tracks coronavirus trends at the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. Up until now, the nationwide vaccine campaign has seen demand outstrip supply, but he believes that will soon change. In May, he believes we will have more vaccines than we will have people willing to take the vaccine. It's hard to know how many people will choose not to get vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Oh, wait, there's more. There's more to the article. Let's see. These two researchers say the problem will not be immediately apparent. Both scientists expect COVID-19 cases to drop over the summer months when a combination of vaccinations and warm weather will dramatically slow the virus down. He thinks the improved conditions will paradoxically make vaccination more difficult. It's very hard to convince people to take the vaccine in summer when everything is going good. He expects that the warm weather and low infection levels mean even people blah, blah, blah. Okay. I don't know. If the vaccine's available and you're scared of the coronavirus and you take the vaccine, then you shouldn't be scared anymore. Right? There's no chance you can get it and die after getting the vaccine. I'm just going to say it. I've decided that there's probably no chance you can get it and die. What are you going to do? Live scared forever? What if you'll never know? What if there's a guy walking down the street? What if he's a vaccine refuser? You'll never know if there's a vaccine refuser in your midst, right? There could always be one. They're the boogeyman, the refusers. No. I'm not a vaccine refuser. I'm just not going to get one. Why would I get? I've never gotten a flu shot. I'm not going to get a COVID vaccine until they say you have to get one to watch Tom Brady play for the Patriots, in which case I'll be like, okay, fine. I don't know. I'm kind of scared of this. Like, they're going to hold all these things over our head and be like, can't go to this thing without the vaccine. Now, like a year ago, I don't know, 9 months ago, when this thing was just ramping up, all the conspiracy theorists were like, they're going to come out with a vaccine and they're going to force you to take the vaccine or they're not going to let you go into stores and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that during this chatter, the general response was, you're a conspiracy theorist. They would never do something like that. Or I feel like I'm pretty sure I remember that being the common narrative. Like, there's going to be no such thing as forced vaccinations or vaccine requirements. This from COVID-19vaccine.health.ny.gov. Check out the Excelsior Pass. Be a part of New York's safe reopening. Get back to your favorite businesses and venues with digital proof of your COVID-19 vaccination or negative test results. Attend sporting events, arts performances, and more. The Excelsior Pass supports a safe reopening of New York by providing a free, fast, and secure way to present digital proof of COVID-19 vaccination or negative test results. Think of it as a mobile airline boarding pass, but for proving you received a COVID-19 vaccination or negative test, you can store your pass digitally on your smartphone with the Excelsior Pass Wallet app, available for free from the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. You can also print your pass from the Excelsior Pass website and bring it with you. Businesses and venues can scan and validate your pass to ensure you meet any COVID-19 vaccination or testing requirements for entry. Along with your pass, you'll be asked to show a photo ID that shows your name and birth date to verify that the pass belongs to you. Wait a minute. So, showing your ID to get a vaccination and get into a place? Okay, unless it's for voting. Then it's a Republican racist policy. Adults may hold passes for accompanying minors. Once you and your party enter an establishment, you will still be asked to follow state and CDC guidance regarding social distancing, face coverings, and hand hygiene. What? Wait. Once you and your party enter an establishment with your vaccination pass or your negative test result, you will still be asked to follow state and CDC guidance regarding social distancing, face coverings, and hand hygiene. Okay, so we've proved you're absolutely safe. We don't know. Participation in Excelsior Pass is voluntary. New Yorkers can always show alternate proof of vaccination or testing. Okay, hang on. So, using the app is voluntary. But New Yorkers can always show alternate proof of vaccination or testing, like mobile application or paper form, directly at a business or venue. Well, I guess New York's off the list of states to be in. But it's just going to spread. And now we have all these other governors. There's a bunch of governors who have gone, no vaccination passport. And then they signed it and said, I'm the governor. This is a rule. Which, by the way, should have the you should be as upset at that as you're upset at like a governor saying everything is shut down. I'm the governor. This is the rule. You shouldn't be able to say write things, even if you agree with them, and say I'm the governor. This is the rule. I don't see how a governor can ban a vaccine passport. And vaccine passport to me seems like the same as saying assault rifle. It doesn't mean anything. I guess maybe the governor's orders would be written a lot more specifically, like, there you can't require proof of vaccination. Anyway, it's coming, guys. I can't believe it. I can believe it. And then everyone's saying, well, there's nothing new about this. You're required to vaccinate to travel overseas, and you're required to vaccinate to send your kids to school. And for the overseas thing, I'm like, okay, good point. Well, I mean, that's true. But if this is just like that, then why are there billions of dollars being spent on these apps and these passes? This thing's expanding super fast. And all of the people who spent billions of dollars to write these apps and market them and sell them to states, the last thing they want is COVID to disappear. There are so many people making so much money off of vaccinations and these passports that if COVID disappeared, they'd be like out of business. That'd be the worst thing possible for them. I don't know. So guess we'll see what's going to happen. So I was running the other morning, and I'm running and I'm looking ahead, and there's this lady with her dog next to her. And she's bent over near some bushes. Now, every time you see a person bent over near a dog near some bushes, you know what they're doing, right? They're picking up some dog droppings, right? Disgusting. But she's like bent over for a long time. And I keep running. And as I get nearer to her, I see she's kind of running her hands along the ground. And then I notice it's not a normal dog. It's a seeing eye dog, and she's blind, and she's running her hands along the ground looking for dog poop with her hands. I just had a moment. I was like, I guess I never thought of that. I never thought that if you're blind and your seeing eye dog stops to go to the bathroom, that you have to find it with your hands. But I'm such a fast runner. I was past her before I really registered what was going on. Should I have turned around and been like, can I help you find your dog's poop? It's right over here. I'll just guide your hand to it, actually. Wow. Crazy. So I never thought of that. Speaking of stuff we've done before, this article came out. Forrest Fenn, treasure hunter. This is similar to the golden ticket. Forrest Fenn, treasure hunter, digs himself into a federal sentence. Roderick Dow Craythorne, 52, of Syracuse, Utah, was sentenced by Chief Federal District Court Judge Scott W. Scavdall for excavating and damaging archaeological resources in a cemetery of Fort Yellowstone National Historic Landmark in Yellowstone National Park. That was a lot of big words and a lot more information than you needed. So this guy, on a treasure hunt, like the golden ticket, went into Yellowstone and started digging around in the cemetery, apparently. He received a sentence of 6 months of imprisonment plus 6 months of home detention to be followed by 2 years of supervised release. He was also ordered to pay $31,000 in restitution. He was found digging in the cemetery in late 2019 while looking for a treasure believed to be worth millions. Rangers and special agents of the National Park Service discovered 17 sites of illegal excavation, including damage to a historic grave. The cemetery is a multi-component, blah, 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 blah. So he's looking for the treasure, digging around for that golden ticket, and boom, right to jail. Speaking of right to jail, a few weeks ago we'd covered the FBI raid on Ian and his cronies, Arya and Renee and Andy and the other people. So the update to that is that Ian Freeman was alleged to have up to $1.4 million in Bitcoin by the prosecutors. This is public info in his bail hearing. So they basically went to the judge and they said, he's got like $1.4 million in Bitcoin. He could run if he wanted to. We should not let him out. And Ian has said, basically, if you want to put a GPS device under my skin, I will wear it. And you can prove that I will not leave my house and I will not go anywhere. And it's actually getting kind of sad. Because Ian is basically telling the government, like back in the, remember the couch debacle? Ian was like, screw you, government, you can put me in jail. And then 3 days later, he was like, just kidding, actually, can I get out? But, and that was only 90 days that he was sentenced to in that first thing. How far we have come from the day I witnessed Ian get thrown in jail for 90 days for having a couch on his lawn. But he was arrested and, had his hearing for bail, and he was like, you can do anything. I just want to be out. If I have to stay in my bedroom and people slide cheese wrapped in saran wrap under my door. When I was a kid, when I was in the bathroom, I was like, what if I got locked in here? What would happen? Like, what if the door locked and I couldn't get out? I was like, Mom, I'm stuck. I figured that they would be able to, oh, I always figured they'd be able to slide American cheese under the door and I could live off that indefinitely. I figured like I'll just live off cheese because it's flat enough to slide under the door. Kids and their brains. He's like, I'll do anything. Just let me out. And the judge issued like some 17-page document that said, actually, we're not letting him out. And among the reasons we are not letting you out is you have too much money and you don't have any ties to the community, which Ian moved to his house here like 13 years ago. And they say he doesn't have ties to the community, even though he like owns the church. They did file an appeal. And part of the appeal says, Mr. Freeman has been aware of the years-long investigation into his business. Still, he continued operating his business as he did not think he was in violation of any laws. He did not attempt to conceal anything from probation authorities. He did not attempt to flee the jurisdiction. Apparently, this is true. Like, Ian would look out his window, and the FBI would be there with their binoculars, like, do you see any Bitcoin in there? And they're like, we see it. It's about $1.4 million. We see the Bitcoin. And Ian was like, hi, guys. Right. So if you thought the feds were after you, wouldn't you run for it? I don't know. Ian has a different brain than a lot of us. He's always been like, ever since the first day I listened to his radio show, he was like, I don't pay federal taxes and I have an income. Come at me. And I was like, they're going to come at you. This is crazy in my brain. I didn't tell him in real life. He did not attempt to flee the jurisdiction. Instead, he traveled abroad and returned home multiple times during the investigation. I wonder if the feds were like, oh, he's leaving the country again. Because if you've got an investigation on a guy this intense where you can do a simultaneous 4 to 6 location raid, then they know where he is, right? They know if he's leaving the country. I guess they would always know where he went, though. But I wonder if they were like, I wonder if he's coming back this time. Instead, he traveled abroad and returned home multiple times during the investigation. Most importantly, Mr. Freeman was never indicated by word or deed that he intends to flee. Oh, he has never indicated by word or deed that he intends to flee. Given the facts in this case and others addressing detention in similar situations, it stands to reason that Mr. Freeman is not a flight risk. Although he is technically facing a maximum sentence of life in prison, the government has conceded that he will not receive such a sentence if found guilty of these charges. Mr. Freeman has strong ties to New Hampshire. So that's his lawyer writing and basically appealing, and we're going to see where it goes. There's, I guess, has to be an appeal hearing, right, where they say, okay, fine, we'll see if you can get out or not. All right. As I said, it is the final days of me in this house, right? The house apparently has sold. We are apparently under contract. Yet I got an email today that says, hey, the commitment, oh, it's not, I'm copied on the email to actually like the people who are doing the banking. The commitment deadline is today. Can you please send that over to us once it comes through? Apparently this is the bank saying, okay, you're allowed to buy the house from Nick, right? And I'm not sure that the bank committed. I don't know if the appraisal's done or if the bank has committed and I'm supposed to close on this house in a week and not own it anymore. And all the chipmunks will be like, goodbye, we miss you, killing us. Oh, boy. 8 years here. It's going to be the 8-year anniversary in a few days. And it was only like a month after I bought it that the chipmunks moved in. I mean, I'm sure they already lived here, but I didn't realize it. Like, they digging under the house, living in the gravel. But what are you going to do? It's a house. But anyway, I guess I just don't know if it's selling. So that's the update on the house. But I'm supposed to be moving very shortly. At least getting the studio out of here so we can be in the streets with the rest of the homeless people. Now, the country is getting back to its roots. We are, COVID still exists, and CNN is doing their best job possible to keep it going, but they realize people are getting bored. So, we've had to have some other things go on. On March 22nd, 2021, a mass shooting occurred at King Soopers Supermarket in Boulder, Colorado. 10 people were killed, including a local on-duty police officer. The alleged shooter, which is a 21-year-old, Ahmad Al-Issa, was arrested after being shot in the right leg. He was temporarily hospitalized before being moved to the county jail. So, it's shooting season again. We actually got a notification from work a few weeks ago. It said, okay, guys, it's shooting season, so please, if you notice any of your coworkers acting a little odd, being antisocial, being frustrated, having financial difficulty, anything that could cause them to shoot, please let us know. And I'm like, you want to report everyone, apparently, then, because who doesn't have financial difficulty, right? That's why we're cashing all these Biden checks immediately when they get here. The shooting began shortly after 2:30 p.m. when a gunman entered the parking lot of King Soopers Supermarket and began to fire at people. He was described by witnesses as wearing an armored vest and holding a rifle, which turned out to be a semi-automatic Ruger AR-556 pistol. Let's take a look. That is not a pistol. That is an assault rifle that you would use in Counter-Strike. Sorry, if it's painted black and it looks all wonky like this, it belongs in Iraq only. See, I know nothing about this stuff. Really, yeah, obviously the way a gun looks has no bearing on how well it shoots. Like, this could be the worst shooting gun on earth, and it could only shoot cotton balls for all I know. But it looks scary. That's why the cops want it. Which I never understood that. Like, if the SWAT team's coming out and they're hunting someone, why do they always bring out the big guns? Like this. Maybe it's because they're easier to shoot a long distance. But I'm always like, isn't the gun on your hip good enough to kill? Why do you got to get the big guns too? Seems like you wouldn't even be able to run as fast if you want to chase someone down. Funny. What am I doing? Okay. He also carried a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. He was first seen by employees and customers who watched him shoot at customers in the parking lot before turning and entering the store. Ooh. The first victim was a repairman who was killed in a van parked next to the gunman's vehicle. Unlucky. The gunman then walked through the store. Along the way, he killed another person in the parking lot who was trying to flee, shooting him multiple times. Next, he killed two more people while entering the store through its eastern entrance. A man waiting in line with his family for his COVID-19 vaccine at the store's pharmacy witnessed the gunman shoot a woman at the front of the line before finding safety in a coat closet with his family. See? Don't get your vaccine. No, not we're not doing it. I said it, though. It counts as level 1. I'm sorry. I said it. The vaccine kills. Some customers and employees reached safety through a back exit of the supermarket. Some were praised for their actions in helping evacuate and hide individuals away from the shooter. At 2:33 p.m., the police department received calls of a person with a patrol rifle in the area and shots being fired. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Officer Eric Talley entered the store within 30 seconds of his arrival. At around 2:37 p.m., an unidentified female officer radioed in to say that she and Talley were going in. Wow! Congrats! This is great. A lot of times the cops get there and they're like, well, guess we'll just wait for him to come out, or hopefully he'll kill himself so we don't have to do anything. Running toward gunfire, Talley was shot and killed by the gunman. Oh my goodness! Wait, I didn't know that. I guess it did say at the top that one of the cops got killed. Wow, that's crazy. He was the last victim of the shooting. By 2:39 p.m., responding officers reported being fired upon repeatedly by the gunman. At around the same time, an armored police vehicle was used to break the store's front windows. Officers engaged the gunman in a shootout. From 3 p.m. to 3:21 p.m., they used a sound system in order to order him to surrender. According to police and witnesses, the gunman was laughing and occasionally mumbling. A store employee said that while she was hiding, she heard gunshots and screams, and then only the store music and phones ringing afterwards. Police did not enter the store again until 3:22 p.m., fearing an ambush. Eventually, the gunman was shot in the leg. He surrendered by saying, "I surrender, I'm naked." And by 3:28 p.m., he was taken into custody. Boulder police formally took him into custody using handcuffs of the slain officer. Oh my goodness. He had a leg gunshot wound at the time of his arrest. It doesn't say if he was naked, though. I wonder if naked is just slang for I don't have a gun on me anymore. Wow, this is crazy. I don't know anything about this. I'm not sure what the motive of the shooting was. Did he just not like grocery stores? I really should have done my research on this. So that happened. And then a few days later, on April 15th, 2021, a mass shooting occurred at the FedEx ground facility in Indianapolis, Indiana. 9 people were killed, including the gunman, which was a 19-year-old former employee, Brandon Scott Hale. All right, let's see what happened here. Well, this is a much shorter one. So if you guys are bored of hearing step-by-steps of shootings, then A, don't listen to the show, but B, this one's short. The suspect drove to the facility, arriving during a shift change. According to Indianapolis police, he was armed with a rifle and began firing at employees in the parking lot shortly after exiting his vehicle. He then proceeded to the facility's entrance, where he resumed shooting. The shooting lasted less than 4 minutes. A witness reported hearing him yelling, but he could not understand what he was saying. According to other witnesses, people inside the facility were unable to contact help due to the company's no phone policy. Oh yeah, I heard about this. FedEx was like, no cell phones on the job. So when there was an emergency, they couldn't. There has to be emergency lines though, right? By the time the police department arrived, he had killed himself inside the facility. And this is the headline that everyone loves. Indianapolis FedEx shooting suspect was part of the My Little Pony subculture of bronies. Facebook reportedly took down 2 accounts connected with Brandon Scott Hole of Indiana, who is accused of opening fire at the facility before killing himself. None of the information gleaned from the accounts revealed any clear motive for the shooting, but he was part of the internet subculture of users who call themselves bronies, which is based on the children's cartoon series My Little Pony. So it's guys who like to watch My Little Pony, and they go into online forums and they go, "I love My Little Pony." And I've never figured out if it's like ironic mostly, and then some of them legit like My Little Pony. But on the other hand, who cares if you do like My Little Pony? For a long time, much older than I should have been, I liked to watch Blue's Clues. And I wanted to know if I could solve the puzzle, right? After a long day at school, you want to go home and be like, well, can I solve Blue's Clues? And I almost always could. And then I feel like there was one time where like I was like, I don't know what Blue wants to do. And that was really shocking to me. Like, I was like, I don't get it. Funny. Woman tried to use a $1 million bill at the dollar store. this is the official police report. On April 5th, 2021, Deputy I, who is named Deputy Snyder, responded to a suspicious incident at 3416 Montvale Road in reference to counterfeit money. So someone's at a Dollar General, and she's like, yes, I'd like to buy something. Here's a $1 million bill. Do you have change? Upon arrival, I made contact with Sierra Nguigu, N-G-I-G-E. That is not a pronounceable word. Nguigu. I'm not even going to try it. Outside the store, the complainant stated that two females were inside the store attempting to purchase several gift cards with a counterfeit $1 million bill. Ah, that's funny. They're still in there. They're still trying to buy the gift cards. We don't have that many gift. We don't have enough to fulfill $1 million. Ms. McCormick stated that she received the $1 million bill in the mail from a church. So this is the offender. I made contact with Ms. McCormick inside the store. She said she received the $1 million bill in the mail from a church, but could not provide the church information. Ms. McCormick stated that she was going to use the money to purchase items for care packages for homeless individuals. Ms. McCormick had a shopping cart full of various items from inside the store, including several gift cards to various businesses. Contact was then made with Linda Johnson, the other involved, inside the store. Ms. Johnson stated that she was unaware of the money and she was only riding with Ms. McCormick to run errands today. Both Ms. McCormick and Ms. Johnson were issued a verbal no trespass warning for the Dollar General. The counterfeit bill was placed into evidence. So what they're talking about here, I'm going to try to Google it. It's got to be this. It's got to be this one. Here, let me pull this up. I mean, it's similar to this. It's this $1 million bill, and it comes from a church, and you open it, and like, oh my, $1 million. This is crazy. A church just sent me $1 million. I'm a millionaire. And then you flip it over, and it says, in God we trust. The $1 million question, will you go to heaven when you die? Have you lied, stolen, used God's name in vain, or lusted, which Jesus said was adultery, it says. If so, God sees you as a liar, thief, blasphemer, or an adulterer at heart. If you die in your sins, you will end up in a terrible place called hell. But there's good news. Though we broke God's law, Jesus paid the fine by dying on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus rose from the dead and was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. He fulfilled all the blah, 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 blah. Visit needgod.com for more information. So the church sends this out, and then people get it, and most of them, you know, 99.999% of them are either like, that's funny, or that's cool, or I'm going to go to needgod.com, or whatever. Apparently, 0.00001% of people go, it's $1 million bill. Let's go, Dollar General. And you'd think that this is crazy, but one time, I was at a youth group event, and this is how I impressed girls. I was like, come on to the youth group event. It's going to be so fun. And to get with them, right? And by get with them, I mean sometimes I could touch their hand. But I got this girl to come to the youth group event. But before you can touch a girl's hand, you have to make sure she's saved. So we had her talk to the youth pastor. And the youth pastor was like, you need to be saved. And in order to help you be saved, I'm going to give you this book. And I'm going to give you this bookmark. But it's really a $5 bill. So he gives her a folded $5 bill and shoves it in the book. It says, this will be your motivation to read the book. So you can have this bookmark. It's $5. And I immediately knew what it was. It was like this $1 million bill. And then she goes, we get rid of that guy, right? And she goes, I'm not going to need you to buy me a soda anymore because I have this $5 bill now. And I'm like, you might want to take a closer look at that $5 bill. It's not real. And it wasn't. The CSPS, the CPSC warns consumers, please stop using the Peloton Tread Plus. This is from Washington, D.C., which apparently is where the Consumer Product Safety Commission is. It's warning consumers about the danger of the popular Peloton Tread Plus exercise machine after multiple incidents of small children and a pet being injured beneath the machines. The commission has found that the public health and safety requires this notice to warn the public quickly of the hazard. The Peloton. So this is a $4,000 or something like that treadmill that has a huge screen on it. I don't know what the screen displays. I assume it's just motivational speeches of people going, run harder and you can have this $1 million bill. The urgent warning comes less than a month after Peloton itself released news of a child's death by the Peloton Tread Plus. And then there was an announcement of investigation into the incident. The agency is continuing to investigate all known incidents of injury or death related to the Peloton Tread Plus. To date, the CPSC is aware of 39 incidents, including one death. The CPSC staff believes that the Peloton Tread Plus poses serious risks to children for abrasions, fractures, and death. In light of multiple reports of children becoming trapped, pinned, and pulled under the rear roller of the product, CPSC urges consumers with children at home to stop using this product immediately. This video demonstrates the hazard of the children posed by the Tread Plus. It is believed that at least one incident occurred while a parent was running on the treadmill, suggesting that the hazard cannot be avoided by locking the device when not used. So the treadmill is pretty high off the ground. So what can happen, I guess, is that if your dog or your child gets near the back of the treadmill just grabs it and sucks them underneath. Okay, that's not funny. I watched this video, and the video does not show a child dying. The video just shows a child getting sucked underneath the treadmill, but it appears to be fine. Well, not fine, but the child walks away at the end. I'm not going to play it. It's soundless, and it's really not a fun video to watch in general. So this happened, and the Peloton CEO has responded. I'm reaching out to you today because I recently learned about a tragic accident involving a child and the Tread Plus, resulting in a death. While we are aware of only a small handful of incidents involving the Tread Plus where children have been hurt, each one is devastating to all of us here at Peloton. Our hearts go out to the families involved. Blah, 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 blah. To prevent accidents, please take care and review the following follow all of the safety warnings and instructions that we provide. Always keep children and pets away from the Peloton exercise equipment at all times. Before you begin a workout, double check to make sure that the space around your Peloton exercise equipment is clear. Make sure that there is no child hiding under the thing. All right? When you finish a workout on your Tread Plus, remove the safety key and store it out of reach of children and anyone who should not be able to start the Tread Plus. Okay. I don't know. So they're in big trouble here. People are mad. They're like, you have to do something. You have to recall. You have to put like a safety bar on it. You have to recall them. $4,000 treadmills, they would go out of business. So they're basically like, please don't. Please try not to kill your kid on the Peloton, I guess. It is scary. That thing moves really fast. Well, if you're a fast runner. Because if you're a slow runner, your child dies slower. but yeah, keep kids and pets away from the machinery. That's common sense. On the other hand, it wouldn't have been that hard to put a sensor underneath the thing. Our garage doors these days come with these little lasers that if your kid is laying underneath the garage door waiting for it to crush them, it won't crush them. Because the little laser beam sees them. So couldn't you put a laser beam on the back that just looks and like if anything passes the laser beam, that tells the Peloton that there's something underneath it. Please stop immediately. And I don't know. It's damage like a treadmill can't stop immediately. Like a garage door can just go, oh, I will stop crushing the child. I will go back up. But a treadmill, no matter what you do, there's no function, I think, that can break it instantly. And if you did break it instantly, whoever was running on it would run at 7 miles per hour into the control panel. But even so, I guess it's better than it keep running and like grinding all your skin off. Dozens have gathered in Placerville, California to protest the removal of a noose from the city's logo. Some residents believe the move is an attack on the city's history and held a rally on Friday to share their opinion with the community outside the Placerville Superior Courthouse building. This is the part of the show where we get into... So we did COVID. We did shootings. We did... I don't remember what we did. Children under treadmills. And this is the part of the show where we get into the race war. So the race war is coming and we have to cover it. So here we go. About 100 people showed up in downtown Placerville to have their voices heard. The group held signs that read, "Don't erase our history," and "It's not offensive, you're just stupid." Let's see what this video has to say. Nothing, that's a helicopter shot. I'll tell you what this video has to say.
About 100 people showing up in downtown Placerville to have their voices heard after the city council...
Well, I'm offensive. It's Placerville, not Placerville.
After the city council voted unanimously Tuesday to remove the noose pictured in the city's logo. Whether it's a good idea or bad idea depends on who you ask. Some longtime residents want it to remain the way it is.
It's heritage, it's not hate. History is what it is. It's meant to be learned from. It's not meant to be erased. I understand the political nature of a noose, and people take offense to that, but that's not part of the history of Placerville.
The history of our town isn't based off of black people. It was based off of three white people that were hung because of their crimes. It has nothing to do with any of this stuff that's going on in these times.
Well, the video just lagged out. On the other hand, some residents feel the image is outdated and stirs up negative feelings that shouldn't be associated with their city. They seem to think it's going to rob us of our history, Placerville Dakota Keaton said about the protesters' position on the matter. Currently in the United States, this does not show a good side of our town. This is not something we want to represent. The people behind me don't understand. They want to represent the hangman's noose. They don't want to represent the hangman's noose. So here's the logo. It's of a guy, what is this, gold sifting? Or is he just getting a drink out of the river? I think that this is gold sifting, right? You look for little gold nuggets in the river. And behind him is a noose. It's just on the tree. Now, I don't know the history of this town. It was apparently a place where three white people were hung, and that's what they're celebrating in the logo. I feel like we should want that taken off. That doesn't seem like it's a nice thing either way. Others are protesting the decision to remove the noose from the city's logo, believe that they never had a chance to be part of the open forum where they could express their opposition. They at least want to have a voice of what happens next. They passed that at like 2 in the morning. I think that's what it was, and people are pretty pissed off about it. The city did hold a meeting where people could voice their opinions, but it was done online because of safety concerns of the pandemic. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's the helicopter video again. That's cool. Police says a man tried to run over black children after a racially charged playground fight. A Massachusetts man is accused of trying to run over a group of black children following a fight with a group of white children. Shane Belleville, 46. He's charged with assault and battery and 4 counts each of assault with a dangerous weapon. Let's see what this video has to say. Nothing. We are going to get this straight from the Holbrook Police Department. Chief William Smith reports that Holbrook Police Department arrested and charged a man for hate crimes and assault with a dangerous weapon, among other charges, following his alleged actions after a fight that occurred between two groups of juveniles over the weekend. All right, you're 36. Stop trying to run over kids. All right, unless you've got like a bike. All right, kids, I'm going to get you with this bike, but it has to not even be an adult bike. You got to ride one of those Huffies that people ride around town when they're in the gang. Like, we're the Huffy gang, but we're actually 28 years old. He's charged with assault and battery, civil rights violations, assault with intent to intimidate based on race, and assault with a dangerous weapon. Working in conjunction with blah, 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 an arrest warrant was issued. He was arrested at his home without incident, so he did make it out of the scene. He tried to run over the kids, missed, apparently, and then just went home. At approximately 1:15 p.m. on Saturday, April 10th, the Holbrook police responded to a playground at Holbrook Middle Senior High School after a juvenile called and said that a man in a red pickup truck tried to run the caller and a group of friends over. Through a subsequent investigation, including interviewing numerous witnesses and reviewing video surveillance footage, they determined the incident began as a verbal argument between 2 7- and 8-year-old children, one black and one white. Other juveniles in the area, ranging from 9 to 15 years old, joined the confrontation. The incident escalated with racial epithets being used, and the altercation became physical. At one point, one of the juveniles called a relative and asked a man, later identified as Belleville, to come assist them. All right, I'm calling my uncle, and he's going to come down here to settle this children's race war. A group of juveniles was walking down a paved path away from the school when Belleville allegedly drove his Ford F-350 pickup truck onto the path and confronted the group of all black children. Belleville and the group of juveniles began yelling back and forth at one another. During the argument, a teenage girl allegedly spat on Belleville, and Belleville responded by allegedly slapping her in the face. As the verbal altercation continued between this grown man and a bunch of 15-year-old black kids, Belleville allegedly got into his pickup truck and reversed toward the group of juveniles, allegedly yelling a racial epithet multiple times. The investigation shows that the juveniles had to quickly get out of the way to avoid being struck. He then left the scene. I was incredibly dismayed to learn the details of the incident from the children being... All right, that's what the police chief says. Final story for the show. Chat says, I giggle a little when people mix up hang and hung. Yeah, well, that's because you have a dirty mind. And I think that if someone was killed by a noose through a hanging, that they were hung. What? A word can't mean multiple things? St. Bernard Parish School bus driver. That doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't use... Okay. The bell? Okay, what's another thing that rhymes with hung? The bell was ringed? The church bell was ringed? Oh, wait, is that right? No, the church bell was rung, right? What else rhymes with hung? Run. No, wait, that's a different thing. Well, I don't know words, so grab your Scrabble dictionary, I guess. But it just makes sense that it would be the one word and not the other word. St. Bernard Parish school bus driver has lost her job after making a racially insensitive comment about George Floyd to a sixth grade student boarding her bus. So George Floyd was big news this week. We didn't really cover it because what's there to cover? Derek Chauvin went on trial. They showed the video of him taking a knee, let's say, in protest. And they decided that he'd murdered George Floyd, and now he's going to jail. Okay. It happened. Good, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, so that was big news, but there was nothing really interesting about it to cover. Gabriel said she noticed something was wrong when her son was not his usual carefree and chatty self when she met him April 9th after he got off the school bus.
Events that have people on edge are the pandemic and the killing of George Floyd. Well, those two issues recently combined to cost a St. Bernard school bus driver her job. Investigative reporter Mike Perlstein explains in this exclusive report.
Like, I get chills right now. It hurt me. It hurt me.
The chat says, of course, the bell rang. The bell didn't ring. I'm so dumb. Does that rhyme? Not really. Rung the bell. Rang the bell. Huh. Well, this has been English lesson 1825 for when those guys were hung.
Rose Gabriel's 11-year-old son, Rashad, is usually carefree and chatty when she meets him after his bus ride home from school.
He's still sad during the media interview. They're like, act sad. Act like you acted when you got off the bus.
But one day earlier this month, Rashad was unusually quiet.
Ma, the bus driver said something to me that was racist.
The sixth grader told his mom that the bus driver scolded him after his face mask slipped below his nose. He told his mom he was out of breath after running to catch the bus. Gabriel recounted what the driver said.
Since George Floyd, that's what y'all all say, but I don't see a knee on your neck. I'm like, are you sure she said that? He said, yeah, all the kids on the bus heard it.
Not only did other kids hear the George Floyd comment, but it was recorded on the bus's onboard camera.
I just started crying.
Okay, the kid's running to the bus. His mask comes off so he can breathe. And the school bus driver, so he says, the school bus driver scolded the kid after his face mask slipped off. Rashad said he was out of breath after running to catch the bus. And then the driver said, since George Floyd, that's all you can say, but I don't see a knee on your neck. The employee is now out of a job. This has been News with Nick. That's apparently a thing you can't say. I always kind of wondered, though, if something racist was happening to someone because they had a mask off, like, what side would the left land on? Like, don't take your mask off for any reason at any time, or don't say a racist thing for any reason at any time. Apparently, we know where having your mask off, not as offensive as saying a racist thing. So don't say that. That's all you can say. Thanks for coming. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Put your phone number in the thing, and we'll see if we're not canceled by next time. Bye.